direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
The Lunatic Fringe, all right. It is the Raleigh James Show. You know, this used to, we used to have a certain amount of I guess, claim to the Lunatic Fringe. Unfortunately, we fight the government every turn of the way now. Yeah, it's not just us anymore. Plenty of things to discuss, and we will. I was just reading where mortgage interest rates rose more than a point, and Bank of America fired 2,100 people today. That has nothing to do with all the millions that have been fired almost daily due to Obamacare. And so you say, what the hell am I going to do? And ultimately, you have to take yourself out of the picture, look above it, see that there is a bigger picture to look at. And one of my favorite people, she puts me to sleep every time I listen to her. And what I mean by that, you're about to meet Venus Andrecht, host of the Dear Venus Show, is that Venus is just so soothing that I can listen to her show when I want to go to sleep and I'm gone within minutes. But on the other hand, when I'm sitting here, and a lot of people will ask me, what do you do when you're reading 3 hours worth of nothing but bad news? How do you not get depressed? Well, of course, as a talk show host, there's part of me that rubs my hands together and says, oh, good, show prep, something to talk about. But on a personal level, it can get you down. And that's when people like Venus in my life are able to lift me up, because she's always got a better perspective than I do. And not only that, she's a lot of fun. So I've got all the links at Raleigh.net to Venus's website. If you can't spell Andrecht, excuse me, A-N-D-R-E-C-H-T, Venus Andrecht, you can say GodIsAlwaysHappy.com. Indeed, Venus, welcome.
Well, hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
Okay.
Yeah, after that introduction, and
you told them right off, I put you right to sleep. But you know, I hear that all the time.
Well,
people love my show because they can't sleep, and they hear it on podcasts. They say they're asleep right away.
Well,
I have to take that as a compliment.
It's a big compliment, because really, in the final analysis, it's all about vibrational essence, no matter what it is. And when you can hear something and it can lull you into a safe enough place that you fall asleep, that's coming from a good, good place.
Well, I think it's a good thing, because so many of us have trouble getting to sleep or staying to sleep, right?
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, so I'm glad to help you out.
So with that in mind, what do you do to stay asleep?
Ah, well, you know, I have a lot of cats that wake me up in the night, and I take calcium.
Okay.
Sometimes I get up and take a hot bath or something, or read a book, or just lie there until I fall asleep again.
Yeah, see, we've got it over on you. We can listen to you.
Yeah, maybe I should start listening to myself. What do you think?
I don't know. Not a bad idea, actually. And, of course, you're always a delight personality-wise. The first time we met, you weren't even doing this. You were doing multi-level marketing. And without a doubt, I'd say the most successful multi-level marketer in America. And when you made that abrupt change to say, hey, I'm going to get in touch with my spiritual side, I'm sure you were always there, but publicly, that had to be quite a transition.
You know, I'm trying to think if I even thought about that. I really did enjoy multi-level or network marketing, and yeah, I was really, really good at it. But, you know, I got to the point where I was making a lot of money, and one day I realized that it had me enslaved.
Yeah.
That I was a slave to it, and I said, well, it's not going to enslave me anymore. I'm just not going to do that. And that's when I made, a mental change, and I just said, I'm living my own life. You know, they're not keeping me just for the money. And somehow I sort of segued into this kind of work, but I've always done it. I mean, gosh, I was born like I am. I'm an empath, a telepath, a clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. I work with energies. But I didn't know that, you know, as you know, I didn't know that for a long, long, long time. I just thought something was wrong with me. Because when you're like that, there's a lot of people like me and like you, we're real sensitive and we pick up and we hear everybody else's thoughts and feelings and we take them on and then it makes our lives horrible. We get sick, we get emotionally disturbed, the whole thing. And, you know, like you were saying, a lot of things are going on in the world today, very distressing things. And if you're not aware of what's happening and realize you're just picking up a lot of this angst and upset, you take it on as your own, and so it makes your own life really disgustingly depressing.
Yeah, and, you know, right now, what you did to walk away from something like that, that takes, by the way, more bravery than most people have. Most people, if they're economically really prospering, they'll stay in it no matter how miserable it makes them because they're so afraid to give that up. But what we've got right now is individuals who don't have to worry about being afraid because the economy has turned. Many people who were successful are not successful now, doing exactly what they were doing before. So it's time that they have to pick themselves up and dust themselves off.
Well, I think that's good, though, Raleigh, because a lot of these people, I mean, from what I see, because I do a lot of readings for people, you know, on the phone or Skype and on radio, et cetera, they wouldn't have had the courage to do it.
Exactly.
Unless they were forced to. I was talking to a lady today, you know, doing a reading, and she's got a good job, a really good job, and a great company, but she's not happy. And I was looking at her, and I said, you know, you can't work for anybody else. You got to work for yourself. And I said, you can keep it, another job, a real job. That's what I call them, 9-to-5 real jobs. Yeah. Well, you work out this other thing or get a part-time temp job, but you've got, and I told her different things I saw that she could do, and she agreed. And I said, you know, you're 38, which is young to my mind, but old enough that you really need to make some choices.
You're exactly right.
It doesn't really matter what age you are, because like what, Grandma Moses, didn't she get famous in her 80s? There's been plenty of really older people, 80s, 90s, that started new careers and became famous. I mean, we have to keep that in mind. And but I was telling her, you can't be miserable the rest of your life doing things that bring you money and safety, but you're not happy. What's that all about?
Exactly, and she has a choice to make, but that was my point. You're right. Most people today, they don't have a choice to make because they're going to have to do something, and it's going to be different from what they've done before. I think many people are very, very frustrated because they continue to fight it, trying to do what they've done before, and it in each time fails, and they're, how do I find something new? How do I get in touch with myself? And you're
I always tell people, think back to your childhood, and if you've got your mother still living or your father, mother's better because they notice these things, or even not, maybe your aunts, uncles, sisters, brothers, whatever, think, what did you really like to do as a child? Like the lady I worked with today, I said, I see you illustrating children's books. Have you ever wanted to do that? Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, I really wanted to do that. I said, well, sit down, take a pen and paper, and just remember everything you used to like to do as a kid or ask people who knew you. Because I've done that with myself. I like to dig swimming pools. You know, I was just out as a little kid digging these big swimming pools. And then we'd fill them up with water and we'd all jump in them. And we got some good boils from that. And also, when they got too big, my father would tell the cleaning lady to fill them up with all the trash, which didn't please me any. But I also was very entrepreneurial. I liked selling. I had got a little red wagon and read in some magazine about the Cheery Card Company, and I ordered a bunch of Cheery Cards. Why they'd send them to a kid with no money, I don't know. But I'd put those in the little red wagon, and I'd walk for miles selling those cards. I didn't sell a whole lot. My father had to buy most of them. But, you know, from that, you know, I'm entrepreneurial. I did things like that, and I liked to draw. I always drew, and I'm a painter and an artist today also. And I like to write, so I write books. And I went through all the things I liked to do. I didn't understand at the time that I had this other ability. I just knew that I was sick a lot, I was unhappy a lot, I was scared a lot, but I was picking up on everything that was going on in my family at the time and also in the world at that time, because that was a time everybody was digging bomb shelters, and every day at noon this big thing would blast off, you know, you'd get under your desk at school. Because that was, if the autumn bomb fell, you had to get under your desk. Like,
right,
that was,
right.
You're right.
The duck and cover drills. And what I always felt sorry for is the kid they made go get the flag.
I love it. Yeah, well, he wouldn't have fared any better than we did. You know, nobody was going to get out of that one.
Right, exactly.
He had polio, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And they were always scaring you about polio, don't swim in pools with other kids. And at school they showed us this movie, and there was this dark shadow moving against a barn wall and came over this little boy. And I shrieked and started screaming and crying. And they turned off the movie. But we had all that. And in my own family, we had everybody sick and dying. I had a sister who wasn't supposed to live. And she did, by the way, but she was in the hospital for a year. So we spent every night over there. I mean, it was horrible things. And I was picking it all up. And my grandmother came to stay with us and take care of us. But my mother found her telling me one day how she had cancer and was going to die of it. Well, she did eventually, but it took a long time. I don't remember that, but I took in all this stuff, and so I was carrying everybody's stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of people listening to your show are really sensitive people, and I want to just tell them all out there, all you people, all you friends, that you're probably picking up a lot of stuff because you hear all this stuff on the radio, on TV, and there's always horrible, terrible things happening. And let me tell you, there always have been and there probably always will be. And if you take it real seriously and you're always watching it and thinking about it, you're just sucking it in and it's ruining your life. And, you know, you got to give up that junk. You got to stop doing that.
Well, I think the first thing is you have to recognize you are, and you're right. For me, it was other people showing me. Like, even to this day, John mentioned earlier, saying, well, you can't go in a crowd because I just shut down. I pick it all up, and I refuse. I used to give speeches and at events and stuff like that. I do not do any public speaking because when I am in the middle of that crowd, it's too painful. I pick it all up, and I'm not doing that anymore. But
I totally get it. I used to work, you know, on multi-level, and I used to train for big companies. I travel around the world and do trainings for like 3 days and talks, and you know, it just ripped me apart, took all my energy, sucked me dry, because there's always an element when you give talks that comes up and circles you and they just suck you out. And the ones that are people that don't do that, they hang back, they don't want to bother you or hurt you. You'd rather have those people come up, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, I remember all that, and I don't do that either anymore because I just can't handle it.
No, and I think that awareness is the first key. Many people right now are, well, for want of a better word, just the universal. They're unhappy. And I think that when people say, well, I'm unhappy because, it might not necessarily be what they think it is.
Right. It may not be you at all. It may be something you've taken on. I think we watch too much news. We listen to, we read too many newspapers, although I do it. I always watch the news. I listen, I read the newspaper. I like to be aware of what's going on, but I also like to be able to stand back. Like tonight I was watching the news, and there was Putin, you know, Russia's president, and he was really ragging on Obama, and I thought, well, old Putin, he's the guy, he runs around with his shirt off, flexing his muscles, and he shoots tigers, and, you know, he's a guy who has an ego, let's say, and he takes advantage, I think, and he likes to make himself look good. I don't know what he looks like in person, I mean, how tall he is, but he strikes me as a little puny kind of guy who just throws his weight around, you know? And so I don't take him real seriously. I know he can cause damage, but I don't feel respectful. I just watch it and I go, oh, okay. But, you know, I was at a luncheon the other day, well, five ladies, older ladies, and they started talking about Alexander the Great. And what did he die of? I guess he died at 32, and some said he was poisoned, and some said this and that. And so my sister Polly looked it up on her cell phone. It said he died at 32 of malaria. And if you look back to Alexander the Great and everything that was going on, if you look back, way, way back and way, way now and future, there's always stuff happening. It's the most horrible, terrible, amazing stuff. It's no different. It's no different now than it's ever been. It's no worse. It's no better. It just is.
That's,
so we have
that's
to
true. Human nature doesn't change. It doesn't matter at what point. You mentioned Putin's height, and I was laughing when you said that, because if you look at various reports, you get a lot of different heights. From what I can tell, he's 5'7", but his official press release has him at 5'9". So,
well, you know, I think he's one of those, however high he is, I get that sense about him that he always has to prove his masculinity. And his ego goes before everything. And you know, if you look at all these people running all these countries, I mean, and they're usually men. I'm sorry to say, fellows, but I'm not saying women can't be just as bad. We just don't have the opportunity to be as bad, perhaps. But maybe there will come a day. But it seems mainly, not everybody, but in the main, it's just men with egos sparring, you know, wars and all kinds of stuff. And it's never been any different. Will it ever be any different? I don't know.
Human nature doesn't change. Right. Human nature from the beginning of time. And when you read literature, it doesn't matter if you're in Aristotle's day or now, the human condition is pretty much a constant. Of course, right now, all the things you're saying about Putin, the British certainly agree to, since he pretty much called it a small, insignificant island. But
Oh, he did. I hadn't heard that.
Oh, yeah. They haven't been too happy. More recently, though, when I heard him speaking on some of the serious stuff, I got very worried because he sounded so much more like Ronald Reagan than any of our leaders did, you know. So it really does make you wonder. But on a human nature level, somebody who aspires to that level of control, and politics is nothing but that, right there, of course, they're going to have all the qualities you've mentioned, because it's almost required for the drive to get there. The rest of us would say, oh, let somebody else do it.
Well, let's look at Spitzer and Wiener.
Yeah. Now, as you know, Wiener, now there's the hot dog named after him, the Carlos Danger hot dog. So at least there are some food companies making money off of this guy.
I guess so. But if you look at them, and they have a gall to think that they can do the things they do and be the way they are, and they can go out and win elections. Well, I guess they got stomped pretty hard. But, you know, it's really kind of funny if you look at it that way.
Well, not only...
I mean, it takes a certain type of person, I think, to go into politics or any kind of power. And there's some really nice people and good people. I'm not discounting them, but I think the majority of them are kind of different from some of us. And I think, of course, a lot of them are sociopathic, psychopathics. That's very popular right now, you know, sociopaths.
Well, and you talked about this on one of your shows, and I should mention all of your shows are available on downloads, too. And if you go to GodIsAlwaysHappy.com, which is easy to remember, you can see that you've got 196 shows downloadable, which is really neat.
And
I know that. See, I counted them. And I know that is available. But, you know, sociopaths are individuals that you can really get wrapped up in before you see what's happening. Because part and parcel of this is the charm. Sociopaths are the most charming SOBs we're going to run into.
And very intelligent, very bright.
Yeah.
Have a lot of good qualities. One of the things I admire about them is they're not emotional. They don't get emotionally disturbed. Like, I'm totally the opposite. Any empath is. An empath just, of course, means someone who feels everything. Like, right now I have a very sick cat, and I'm just suffering. But a sociopath, that wouldn't bother them at all. They'd leave it out, so kick it outside, fend for yourself. You know, they have no empathy. They don't feel like regular people feel. But what they learn to do is pretend that they have the that we do. And they're able to be rich, famous, successful, because emotions don't get in the way. And what I think would be nice. Now, they have that part of the brain that seems to be missing. Well, we as empaths have it really large there. I would certainly like to be more toward the middle, at least. You know?
Yeah. Well, balance.
You know, I think we could, each side could learn something from the other. But so we have a lot of those people out running the world and the country and the world and, you know, everything.
Sure.
And so, of course, you're going to have all kinds of stuff. But what good does it do us to sit here and worry about the world? I was thinking today, I had this boyfriend once. We lived together like 5 years, and he was constantly worried about the world and what was happening. Gosh, this was 20-plus years ago. He worried all the time, and finally I said, why are you worrying about all this stuff? You can't do anything about it. He didn't have an answer, and I said, you know, I can't worry about it. I have enough to worry about personally. I'm a personal worrier. I worry about what's happening in my personal life. And I think about what's going on in the world, but I don't worry about it. Now, when Fukushima happened, I was upset about that and concerned, about all the nuclear reactors. We have one real close to us. But I talked to the Virgin Mary. And it's not that I'm religious or a Catholic or anything, but, you know, I talked to whoever I think might help. I had a little chat with the Virgin Mary, and I said, look, this is not good. We need to get San Onofre around here shut down. This is dangerous. We have all the people here. This is just crazy. It's on a fault line. It's right on the water. Well, you know, it's shut down. It took about a year or so, and now they've shut it down. I'm concerned about these things, but I don't spend my life suffering over them like I do my animals, for example.
Right, obsessing, of course not. And the worry or the obsession does nothing. The healthy concern without the emotions makes all the difference, because then you can act. Fukushima, actually, to derail where I was going with this, you mentioned that. As you know, it's still leaching 300 to 400 tons of radioactive material into the ocean every day. It looks like it will be on our shores within another year from now. Every tuna tested is radioactive. And you look at this, and not from a worry standpoint, but just from a realistic standpoint, and I never thought to ask you this before, but I'm sure that you have talked to the beings about this. What's the upshot of what's happening?
Well, I haven't asked them, frankly.
Really?
Well, you know, I'm so busy working with people and their problems, and that's where the beings help me. I haven't, like I said, I don't go out into the huge world dramas too much, because it's like they're so big and there's so many people and things involved. What I do with my life is I try to help one person at a time, I guess.
And that's good. And with that in mind, will you help one?
Of course.
All right, we're going to meet Charles in Tennessee. Hello, Charles.
Hello, how you doing, Raleigh?
All right.
Venus, first off, there's something about your cat. Go to Water Cure 2 when you get off of here, and it's just watercure2.com, and read about the process with animals. I cured one of aggressive lymphoma using just that, and it's amazing, and it's very simple. And Raleigh, you need to get the people on the show sometimes. I have a unique situation. Raleigh knows about me medically, rare, bad, yet I thrive. There's nothing I can't do, and I'm just not touting my horn. My IQ's through the roof. It tested over 200 when I was a kid. But there's nothing I can do. It's been surviving.
Okay, Charles, hang on. Venus wants to know, so real quickly, I think there's only like 10 people who have this. It's an autoimmune thing, but what is it?
It's it's congenital erythropoietic porphyria. It's the vampire, the thing that vampirism was based on.
Oh, what do you mean?
Porphyria.
You need to drink
it's the
blood?
Rarest form of porphyria.
Wait, you need to drink blood?
No, but it's a blood disorder. And really, the one medicine that they can treat with is a blood product. They take a hemoglobin factor out of 2,000 people and infuse you with it. The enzymes that you make blood with, mine are all wonky.
Oh.
And I will make up to a certain point, and then at that stage, it's very toxic. It gets in your skin and will burn you if you get in ultraviolet light or around cell phones or just electrical fields or radiation can make you start blistering, because that chemistry will go through your nervous system and skin, and you'll start blistering.
You don't want to see the pictures, Venus. I mean, Charles is not in this category, but people lose fingers and limbs and all that. I mean, it is a skin disorder that will kill you.
How old are you, Charles?
How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah. You can admit
Did
it.
Did I hear you?
Yes, you can admit it.
How old are you?
Oh, 62.
Okay, so
young. But look 45.
There you go. That's right. That's the spirit. Yes.
Okay, what kind of work do you do?
Nothing. I've never been able to actually. I've got 3 months a year that I can function in the winter.
Oh, my goodness.
And I've had so many near-death experiences in my life.
Really?
And this year I've had 6 months of not being able to function because of vertigo and severe migraines and things and I can't take medications because of the way your liver and your enzymes work in your body. I cannot metabolize but maybe three different basic antibiotics, no blood pressure medicines, no painkillers, nothing. I function without it. And just basically all it takes, thyroid hormone, and then some pituitary hormone now. But
okay, now, we kind of got the idea of the medical condition. Now, what's your question for Venus?
I have survived in spite of everything.
Uh-huh.
My capabilities are unlimited. They really are.
Okay.
When I can do something. But I would like to know what it is I'm supposed to be able to do. I can sit down and tell somebody everything they've ever done. I have people of all walks of life calling me and asking me advice, doctors, lawyers, politicians, and people like that. I cannot function and do anything because, you know, you can't when you don't know if you're going to be able to crawl out of the bed tomorrow. But I'm extraordinarily happy.
I'm just like
the
mine.
Most elated person at
okay.
all
Wait
time.
A second, Charles. It sounds like you used to have a job like mine where you can just sit in a big old chair and you can talk to people and tell them, give them the good advice and have them pay you by the minute.
How does he do that, though? I don't think he's psychic, so...
No, I am.
You don't have to be psychic, but if you have a lot of knowledge and advice, and you're saying that people call you for all kinds of things, just like you tell me what to do for my cat, I mean, people like you are special. There aren't many people like you. It seems to me, if it were me, I would just start charging for it. And
well,
it seems like I think my feeling about you is that you enjoy it. It makes you happy to help people. And that you know a lot, and that from somewhere you get a lot of information. I think you probably read and research a lot, but I feel like it's coming from somewhere else also.
I read and play around on the Internet just for distraction. When I went to school,
yes,
I never read a textbook,
listen,
and I walked
honey,
in and knew everything.
Listen, how would you feel if you were able to have a job where you just really helped people? Maybe you couldn't help yourself that much, but you could help other people, which in turn would help you. Why not?
No, I would love it. I would love it. And
well, then why don't you do
I
that?
I like to facilitate.
All right,
I like to go from A to B.
So what's stopping you from doing that?
Well, I don't know how you make the connections, especially where I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere in East Tennessee.
Well, it doesn't matter where you live. It has absolutely nothing to do with where you live. You can live anywhere in a polar ice cap if you want to. It might be good for you.
Yeah.
You just get the word out and you tell people, well, I'm here. I give advice. I'll do research. I'll do everything I can to help you. But I charge for that. You decide you're going to charge by the minute, by the hour, by the work you do. And you get their credit card, and you take it, and you just work for them, and you tell them what you've got. You can send it to them, email it to them, talk to them on the phone. This could be a real good job, a happy job for you that you could do anywhere. So many people, Charles, don't have access to knowledge. They're so busy with their lives and just regular humdrum stuff. But if you meet somebody who researches and knows all kinds and types of things like you, that's a real resource, a real asset.
Well,
think about it.
How do you get started?
Yeah.
Well, you just start. You start by practicing. That's how I started. I just started practicing on people. I didn't really know I had a talent for a long time until I was 38 and it was pointed out to me. I was told I was an empath, that I became other people. I thought I was them. A lady told me I was a born medium. I didn't know what she meant. She said, never stop doing the work. So I had to start figuring out what the heck this was. And so I'd say to my friends or people I didn't even know, can I practice on you? And they would say, wow, you're right, or I feel better, or this happened, or that. And I go, wow, that's interesting. But pretty soon I noticed, Charles, that people didn't take my very good advice because it was free. So then I started charging them $1 a minute. And I found when I charged them, they tended to take my advice. And then through the years, you know, I just charged more and more. I got better and better. And I got to the point where this is how I make my living because I'm good at what I do. And I feel you could be good at what you do. And it's very satisfying work because you feel like you really help people. Whenever I work with somebody, I give them my all, you know, just like you would. I do the very best job I can. I earn my money. So I earn every dollar of it. and you would be the same way. And it's like the beings are talking to me while I'm talking to you. It's like these beings that I have, there are three really huge, tall beings. They're very powerful. One is exceedingly powerful, and they work through me. And I'm like totally open, and I let things come through me. That's how I work. I'm like very close to the veil, as I've been told. But anyhow, so in looking at you, and with this advice they're giving you, it's the illness you've had, the problems you've had. It's refined you. They said that word, refined you. It's made you extremely, exceedingly sensitive. You're refined. It's knocked out all the gravel and the rocks in you. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
because
okay.
And so you can't have anything
this,
but just
that. Now, what the beings have told me is that we're all God having experiences, and when we come into this particular earth plane or life or whatever, we already know what we're going to do. It's set up. We have some leeway, but basically we have our path laid out. And so that's what they mean when they say let go and let God, because we're God and we have it all laid out, and all we have to do is flow with it and be it and do it, and don't worry about it. Just let it happen, because what's going to happen is going to happen. And with you, you've been refined. You came in to have this particular experience where you would have a very unusual physical, emotional, and mental experience, not like a lot of people. And because of that, you would be able to do things that other people can't do. My sense about you is that you can even travel to other dimensions, other galaxies, other places. Have you done that? Do you know that you're doing that?
Yes.
I bilocate
all the time.
All right, then Charles, you've got your answer. Let me ask you one more thing, Venus, about Charles. Can you look inside him and figure out why he hasn't actually acted on this yet?
He was waiting to have somebody lift the bar or remove the, it's like a stanchion in a road, to push it aside and say, it's time. So this is happening right now. Don't think of it as me telling you. It's the beings telling you. I'm just a person that stands in the way, you know, or in between. And it's being moved away in your road, and now you're free to do what you were born to do, what you came to do. You have a lot of knowledge. You've lived through a lot of pain. You've experienced so much that has made you, it stripped you to the bone, let's say. It made you so exquisitely sensitive that you can do things that you can't even imagine, perhaps, that you can do. And again, they're showing me that you can time travel, light travel, you can go out beyond the beyond, and you can pick up all kinds of information and bring it back for other people and help them. And so let yourself go and do it. Don't even think about the body. The reason you have so many body problems is because you need not to think about the body as being important. It's like the body has been so difficult that you're willing to leave it in a sense. I mean, you're still tethered to it, but leave it in a sense so you can do this really high work.
All right. I think he needs a mojo. What do you think, Venus?
Okay.
Well, I have a cat named Mojo.
Oh, wait. Well, if you haven't heard...
My little Bengal's name is Mojo.
If you haven't heard about Venus's mojos, well, Venus, you explain it better than I do.
All right.
I better do that. I better explain it before I do it. Well, my mother taught me how to do mojos. When we were growing up, I'm the oldest of six kids, and we'd be crying around about, I don't have a boyfriend, I have pimples, I'm unhappy, you know, that kind of stuff. Finally, she's like, oh, you need a mojo. And my mother was an absolutely gorgeous woman. She looked like a movie star, and she died 3 years ago at 88, so she's gone now, or beyond, let's say. But what she'd do is all of a sudden... She would jump out of her chair, and she'd start jumping up and down and flapping her arms and her legs and yelling, Mojo, Mojo, blah, 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 all kinds of weird stuff. It looked so ridiculous that we kids would all start laughing, you know, but by golly, those mojos worked. And so I learned to do it by just watching her and having it worked on me. And what I do is I feel with me, all this huge energy is behind me. It's like over my right shoulder. And I just, when I'm working with somebody, I reach back and I collect it all. The beings are there to help me, and we bring it through for the person or people I'm working with. I just want to say that on my website, I do have a free MP3 Mojo that anybody can download,
yeah,
and you can listen to it over and over. And it sounds a lot better than Mojo I'm going to give you, because I'm just giving you energy. But with this Mojo, it's called No Matter What Happens, Everything Is Always Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's music, and there's my voice, and you play it over and over, and I get all kinds of testimonials, and it's free. It does put you on my mailing list, but if you don't want to be on it, you can always cancel it later. But I also have a lot of mojos on my website, godisalwayshappy.com, about all kinds of things. My mother's love mojo, health mojos, get it done mojos, you name it. For a nominal fee, like $8 a piece, you can play over and over, but that one's free. Mm-hmm. I want you to be sure and get that one, godisalwayshappy.com. Look for the All blue right. headphones and click somewhere around there. You'll get it. Okay, so what I do on the phone when I'm working with people like this, at the end of the session, I'll turn off the clock and I'll give them a free mojo just to help them. And a lot of times people feel these. You might tingle. You might start laughing. You might buzz. You might get dizzy. You might feel nothing. It doesn't matter. It still works, but it's really strong energy.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do when it comes through, Charles, is I can sound really ridiculous. I make a lot of noise and yell around, and you know, but it's I have to because I have to get the energy out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking them, the beings, what we want to bring through for you. They're telling me this is a mojo, this is energy to help you get your life's work started. You've been in training, so to speak. And sometimes it takes a lot of time for us to get trained, right?
Yes, but and refined.
Fine, because, you know, you're young.
Distilled.
You've got a lot of time left. So, okay, this is for Charles. This is for Charles to help him get started. Woo, woo, bam, bam, bam. Woo, woo, bam, bam. Mojo. Woo, bam, bam, bam. Woo, 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 bam. Wow.
All right. All right, Charles.
You wore me out.
Thanks for calling.
The lights went off.
All right. The lights went off. Excellent. All right. Well, call us back.
Hey, wait a second. Oh, your lights went off. Did you feel anything in your body?
No, I was just joking because we've got this thing about the grid.
Yeah, right.
You're laughing.
I wanted to throw that in.
Because when you laugh, it brings it in more deeply. So,
good.
You know, let us know how you do. I always like to know how people do.
I will, and I'm going to on your website
Thanks.
And get that started. And thank you very, 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 very much. And like I said, but I don't feel anything other than I'm grateful that I had this burden instead of somebody that couldn't face it, because I can laugh at it.
Right.
And in spite of it, I do that, and that's one of my gifts, I think, to be able to laugh.
You have a talent, and now you can use it to help other people.
All right. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate
it. Thank you. See you. Bye.
All righty. Chris is in Las Vegas. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Raleigh. Hi, Venus.
Hello. So, Chris,
what do you
who
want
are
to know?
You? What are you up to?
Actually recuperating from a couple days of work and getting ready to start hustling to get some more.
Okay. What kind of work do you do?
I work in convention services on a strip.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
how
literally
old are
it's
you?
A feast or famine 24/7 gig.
Yeah. How old are you, Chris?
How old are you, Chris?
43.
Okay. Was there something you wanted to ask me or talk about?
Well, yeah, actually, I've been kind of in this weird holding pattern. Currently, I work on call all over the place. And like I said, it's feast or famine. And with the changes, you know, age, the job market, money, all that, it's basically, like I said, a feast or famine type of situation with respect to work and income and my body's ability to deal with it. And I've been trying to create transition for a long time into, you know, trying to figure out, okay, where am I supposed to go, what am I supposed to do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying to at least find something that's living wages where I could still work the other jobs while I'm trying to build up money and all that. But it's like the doors have been closed for some time now, so I keep trying to figure out, okay, universe, what am I doing wrong, what am I doing right, blah, blah, blah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Do you sing?
No. I am tone deaf
like,
as they come.
Well, I don't know. I just heard something about singing. And have you done waitressing?
Oh, God. That's what I'm doing now.
Oh, okay.
I do the banquets. I'm the grunt that goes in, sets up the room. We deal with groups anywhere from a couple hundred to thousands of pop. Just
okay.
Turn and burn.
So we got that, but the singing, I'm asking, and what do you mean by the singing? I'm talking to them, the beings. What do you mean by this? Okay, I'm getting a sense that maybe you'll be working somewhere where there's singing or shows. Does that make any sense to you?
No, not at all.
Okay. All righty. Well,
by the way,
keep on going here.
She probably
already let anything stop us.
Yeah, she probably already does to a degree because she's working in Las Vegas, so they're singing around her whether she wants it or not.
I mean, it's like I've seen probably every major band on this planet.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, the whole corporate circuit. So, yeah. I mean, that kind of
okay,
goes
well,
with the thing.
I think what they're saying is there's something for you in that direction. Working with those kinds of people, do you have an ability to put things together or direct things or make things happen? I think you do.
I'm good at organizing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it would really just depend on the nature of it.
Well, okay. Well, they're just telling you talents, abilities you have that need to be tapped, that you could get into this other area where it looks dark, and where they're singing and dancing and there's shows, like dark must be inside the theater or something, I'm not sure. But you have the ability to pull things together, to direct things, to make things happen. So it's like you've done enough waitressing or whatever, and you need to consider or think about how to get in with some people or places where you can pull things together. There are always people, they say, who they need to do a good job of making things happen, making these shows come together or lining things up. I don't know what it would be, but that's one of your talents, and you should look into it because they need it where you are.
Okay, yeah, they're kind of clueless in that respect. I mean, I guess that's the whole thing. It's like after working in a corporate environment for so long, honestly, I can't stand it. It's so freaking toxic. So
okay.
It's just like, oh, boy, ooh, the idea of,
maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe this is something you could do independently.
No, I don't know if this is really corporate.
Right, maybe you could do it independently.
Working for maybe the band or the singers themselves, and maybe freelance, where you're paid to do certain things for certain people or groups where you run your own life.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do here, they're telling me, is you need to expand your thinking.
Okay.
You need to see yourself as bigger than you think you are, mentally, smart-wise, brilliance-wise, that kind of thing, and realize that you can do something bigger than what you've done or what you thought you could do. What they want you to do is just think about this, that there are options open to you. It's not just corporate. It's not working for other companies or big conglomerates or whatever it might be. But it could be more, working more personally for somebody. Could even be along the lines of personal assistant work with big names, pulling things together in their lives. They don't have time to run their own lives. You'd have to run it for them. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Venus, the thing I'm thinking of based on her being in Las Vegas is things like meeting planners, which are independents, somebody who is responsible for getting it all together, bringing in the talent for the entertainment. And I mean, right now on a little level, Chris, you're doing all that for, say, an upcoming dinner or something like this. But rather than...
Oh, no, I mean, trust me, that industry.
Yeah.
I mean, I really understand the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And, like, what you're talking about with, like, meeting planners, basically it's corporations that basically handle that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, there's more beyond that.
I'm sorry?
They're telling me you have to think bigger. You're bigger than you think you are. You're smarter than you think you are. You're more brilliant than you think you are. You just have to start thinking about this. And what I like to do in my own life is I like to just spend a day or two, and I'll go outside, and I'll sit in a lawn chair and look at the sky all day. And I daydream, and I'll have a note pen, a notebook and a pen with me, and any ideas that come into my mind, I'll write them down. I'll be thinking about what I want to do. In your instance, what do you want to do with your life, what's next, etc. And just listen to whatever falls in, or you can even do it while you're doing dishes or taking a shower, whenever your mind is blank. Write them down. I see something for you coming together and happening that's bigger and better and much more enjoyable. But you've got to be open. You've got to open your mind. I just got a can opener here, and I'm just cracking your mind open. You are more than you think you are. You have more brains than you think you do. Why do I keep saying that?
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I am. You know, I love to learn. That's just part of my personality.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you know how bright you are. And
I see tons of opportunities.
You do a lot more than you do. Do you know that?
I would be in the ranks of self-employed if I could afford it. You know, financially,
yeah.
If there was ways I could
work toward that while you're working 9 to 5 or whatever, you can work toward it once you start to figure out what it is, and it may come in small baby steps.
Right.
But you got to put your mind on it.
Yeah, and
you got to give yourself. God, they keep repeating it. You know, when sometimes this happens, they repeat something over and over, and I want to say, I already told them that, you know, but they're saying it again. You've got to open up your mind. You're a lot brighter than you know. You can do more than you think you can, and you've got to open up.
Okay.
Yeah, don't limit yourself.
You want me to give you a
yourself.
Mojo to blow your head open?
Yeah, go ahead. Do that.
Okay, darling. You asked for it. All right.
Okay. I am.
All right.
Pretty
open-minded
about all this stuff. I'm cool with it, man.
Okay. All right, so I'm talking to the beings here. We need to open her up, open her mind up so she just, bam, knows how smart she is and she can do anything she wants to do. Bam, bam, woo, 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 bam, 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 mojo. I just feel like there's something in your past or the way you were brought up where you just are afraid to go for the really big time.
Yeah, that you're your own limiter.
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't doubt that in the least bit.
That's,
you know,
well, that's what
you
they keep saying over and over.
I know I've got my own baggage.
Open up, open up. You're brilliant. You're really smart. You can do it. You can do anything you want. And they're behind you, and they're going to help you. Okay, darling?
All right, Chris, thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling. Good luck.
Go for
Thanks.
It.
All right.
You know, Raleigh, I probably should mention to people that what I'm really good at, especially, I think, is reading minds.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of people who have love troubles or problems with bosses or anybody. If you need to know what they're thinking, feeling, why he dropped you, you know, what did he really mean what he say? I mean, I do all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
but
boy, do you.
I want to say also that I don't do voodoo. I always ask the person you want me to look at if I can come in their head and talk to them. And if they say no, I don't do it. But when I do that, when I go and ask somebody, they don't consciously know that I'm there or that you've sent me. They,
right.
You know, they're not going to say, my God, who is that woman you sent? Because we work at a deeper level, all right? And I have some people, I always have some people that want me to go in and make this man, for example, love them even though he thinks he's a stalker or whatever.
Yeah.
I go, I don't do voodoo here. I just don't do. You know, I only work for good. I only work to help people. You know, a lot of times they have situations that aren't going so well, and so I try and step in and help change the energies, and it often works. Not always, but often, because everybody has free will. But what I found is when I talk to somebody in their head, they hear me. They think they're their own thoughts, and they're welcome, and they can listen or not. But I can't tell you how many times people tell me later, that person said the exact same things to me that you said when you were in his head or her head or whatever, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I know what I do. I totally believe in what I do.
Well,
I've done it long.
Yeah, and of course, you exhibit that on many of your shows, and all the information is on GodIsAlwaysHappy.com, but also Tuesdays, 4 o'clock Eastern on CTR.com. You can go direct or go to Venus's site, and you do that all the time.
That way.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Soroya is in Detroit. Hello, Soroya.
Hey, good evening, spiritual rock star.
Yeah, right. Good to talk to you.
You too, and good evening. Lovely guest you have.
Yes.
Thank you. Soroya, is that, how do you say your name again?
Soroya.
Soroya, that's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
I feel like you're a beautiful woman, too. Is that true?
It's absolutely true.
Good, good.
Yeah, right. That's the right answer.
I like that. So what can we do for you?
Actually, I just want to know that I'm on the right path. And I kind of already know that, but I'm looking for a little confirmation.
Uh-huh.
I've had a really life-changing year, and it's been actually one of the craziest years of my life, but one of the best. And I really think, like, this is the year that everything happens for me, if that makes any
right.
sense.
How old are you, and what do you do?
I'm 37, and I'm a writer.
Okay. And is there anything particular you want me to ask for you? or ask about?
I have several things. I really am trying to publish my novel. Now,
okay.
I really think this is going to happen. I've had a couple things line up in a very uncanny way. Things I've prayed for this year are just happening. The only other thing I'm looking for is a partner. Now, I've struggled this for a while, and it's just something I'm curious about.
Okay, we're talking romance now, not books, right?
Romance, yes, absolutely, as far as that goes. And books-wise, like, I don't know partner. Like, I have a friend whose mom is a publisher, and I had some wonderful friend of mine say that she would help me promote my book. So that stuff I'm pretty solid in. It's just I wonder if it's all going to come together.
Okay, book and partner, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. I like to be clear because I have to ask the right questions. So do you mind if I come in your head?
No, not at all. And by the way, I can totally feel you.
Oh, good. Okay. A lot of people do. I was going to say that in case it worried you if you did. Don't worry.
No, it doesn't
me.
At all. Not at all.
Okay. All right. So I'm coming in your head now. All right. There you are. Hello. And I'm just going to feel you and just be you. I look out through your eyes. I see your life. I feel you. You have a lot of energy. You have a lot of ideas. Tick, 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 tick. All things are all lined up. It's like this brick, that net. You're following something like, I see little bricks, little red bricks in a garden. I'll do this one, I'll do this one, I'll do this one, I'll do this one. Do you have a lot of plans for your life?
I actually do.
Well, golly me. Okay, let's see what else here. What about her book? Do you want to tell me the name of the book? Do you feel comfortable doing that?
I actually don't have a working title right now.
Okay. Well, I'll see what I can pick up on. Hang on. It's a novel. She's this novel. I think you're going to write more than one. I think you might have a series. Is that correct?
Oh, my God, you're dead on. That's really good.
Okay. All right. And I think that'll keep you very busy. I think there may be some romance in these books, too.
Absolutely.
All right. Are you a romance writer, or would you...
I'm not, actually. You want me to tell you?
You what?
You want me to tell you? No, I'm not a romance writer. It's just something that's getting interwoven.
Well, it feels like sort of a science fiction romance, sort of something out of the ordinary is what it feels like, historical or something.
That's incredible. You're dead on. It's sci-fi.
Okay. So, all right. So we're asking about a romance. Okay. And how about her love life, personally? Well, I think you're going to have choices. You'll go like, I feel like you're the kind of person who will just pick who you want. So
I definitely
could
be
some people
if I was
lined
presented
up.
With the right choice.
Yeah, you'll have choices. And I think you might like to have more than one at a time, frankly. Did you know that?
No, but I haven't done that since I was in my 20s. Wow, how much do you know about me?
Everything.
Well, just what I'm picking up. But, yeah, don't worry about your love life. It's going to be fine. Everything looks good to me in your life. It looks like it's just open the door and shoot through. Everything looks clear. And there's a lot of stuff in your life. A lot's going to happen. And it feels really good.
All right,
so just
Soraya.
Go for
thank
it.
You.
Good
You're
deal,
welcome.
Soraya. I appreciate the call.
Thanks, ladies.
All righty.
So, bye.
I always love it, Venus, when people are so surprised you're right on. I'm never surprised when you're right on. And
well, I'm often surprised.
Yeah, that,
you know why?
That's fun, too.
Because I just listen to what comes through me and what I see and hear. And most of the time, often, I don't know what they're even talking about. That's why I say so often, does that sound right to you? Because when they say, oh, yeah, I go, well, good. Because I'm just like a bystander. I'm just like the in-between person saying, okay, this is what I see, that's what I hear. What does that mean? Great, okay.
Yeah, the hour always goes by too quickly. I should mention, not only do you do the verbal mojos, but art mojos as well. And if they get to godisalwayshappy.com, everyone will see how great you are. And
thank you.
As usual, I hope we can do it again, and I'll be listening to you on Tuesday at 4 o'clock Eastern.
Is the hour over?
The hour is over.
I can't believe it.
I take that as a compliment.
Well, that was fun, Raleigh. Thank you so much for having me.
We will do it again.
All right, darling. Love you.
All right, me too. So, indeed. Dear Venus, Venus Andrecht, GodIsAlwaysHappy.com. And, I'm going to try to be happy in the next hour, too, as we delve back into what's going on. But remember, you can rise above it.
It's the Raleigh James Show.